Sector 2, move into position. Units 3 and 4, maintain coverage of Sector 7.
Copy that.
Listen now, Mr. Kansas Law Dog. Law don't go around here. Savvy?
Blood's been spilled to afford us this moment. Now.
Get them up and move them out, boys.
Come with the territory. Ask any cop, he'll tell you. If you can't stand the heat, you better stay out of the kitchen.
I wish I was a kindergarten teacher. But I'm not. I'm a cop. That's all I know how to be.
Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Supernatural Christian Podcast with your host, Bruce Belen.
Good evening, everybody. This is Supernatural Podcast with Heath Rahutsky, and we've got our host, Bruce Belen, on the line. And tonight, we're going to be talking about the relationship between giving and receiving the gift. So, how are you tonight, Bruce?
I'm doing great. I'm actually been cleaning for 2 days. I got a few folks coming in for Christmas, kids, and my wife's had me working like a dog, so I'm probably need to go to the chiropractor, but other than that, I'm fine.
I go to the chiropractor, too. I actually enjoy it. I'm one of those weird people.
I don't think that's weird at all.
All right. So, hey, Bruce, if you don't mind, before we jump into the word and the topic, I just wanted to touch base with you on a couple things. Because I've been listening to every podcast you've been on, and I just want to tell you thank you for serving in law enforcement and also as a pastor. All the topics, the things that you're bringing to the table, it's all stuff that, as Christians, I know you're not perfect, obviously you're a person, but as Christians we need to be exemplifying, the commitment, the faithfulness, the not giving up, the consistency. Those are kind of the themes that I've heard played over and over again in your topic. So I just wanted to give you a quick, touch on that and just let you know, man, I really appreciate you and what you do, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you tonight.
Well, I'm glad you're here, man, and first, thank you for acknowledging that. And I can tell you that everything I've learned in this, I kind of say it tongue in cheek because it's funny to me, it may not be funny to anybody else, but I have learned that essentially by trial and error. Don't get me wrong, I've got a degree, I've studied, I read, I pray, I fast, but most of my big lessons I've learned by trial and error. So, and those are the ones that I remember the best, Heath. It seems like that's the one you can't pry out of my hands, so.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, and, it's kind of like muscle memory, right? But even from a spiritual perspective, sometimes, there's obviously, there's peaks and valleys. We get to the mountaintops too, but sometimes the stuff you remember the most are the painful experiences. And, but God uses it all. And it was kind of making me think about another topic that would be cool, I think, at some point, heroes of the faith, which really is just imperfect men following Christ. But, and I've heard you touch on it before, but you think about all these men that, that we constantly talk about, Moses, David, Elijah, these men that were imperfect and they learned hard lessons, but because they stayed, obedient to the Lord and walked faithfully with him, they had the victory. So it's good stuff.
Well, I can tell you, if you get me started on that subject, Heath, we're going to have to expand because that is Sunday morning. After band practice, I had been studying, getting ready for Sunday morning, and which it was our Christmas, service. But Yeah, it's just, we will, if you remind me, we will talk about that, because I actually have got a whole spiel on that around the Exodus, and it's just, yeah. But
that's,
but that's not what we're going to talk about tonight, brother. If you get me started on that, you're in trouble.
All right, another time, sir. All right, so hey, Bruce, yeah, let's get going on the gift then, the relationship between giving and receiving. What do you have for us?
Well, I wanted to tell you first that I follow several websites, several situations where, and some of it is available for anybody. Some of it is not. It's police-only sites. But on one of those, what got me started thinking about this, Jake was actually bothering me last night. What are you going to talk about? What are you going to talk about? And I wouldn't tell him because I didn't know. And so that's a good reason. But I was praying about it, and I was actually reviewing some of the information coming into me today. And I saw this story, and it really began my mind and my spirit to begin to go down this direction. Let me tell you, it's a very quick story, but Franklin County, Kansas, there was some deputies there. The county's about 25,000. It's up. It's not too far from Kansas City up there. It's just a couple of counties over in the Kansas side and rural county. And about 3 days in a row, they got a call of this lady walking down the freeway. And it was cold and, you know, early in the morning. And people concerned about it, that her car was broken down or whatever. Well, these deputies kept responding out there and picking her up. And she was walking 6 miles one way to work every day. And, you know, there's a lot of people that won't work. And this girl, single mother, walking 6 miles one way to work. And so these deputies, of course, the thing about being a deputy sheriff, which I have done several times, is you know a lot of people. So they begin to get on the phone and begin to call people and begin to get community stuff organized. And they have come together and given this lady a van, a couple of car seats, give her a pretty good Christmas, you know. And I just, it reminded me of the fact that what Christmas is all about is the gift. And, you know, these boys, you know, they're deputy sheriffs. I'm sure they're just like you are, just like I am. They're imperfect. They do the best they can to do the right thing. But in this gift, what they've done is they have, you receive as well as give. And I don't know how to explain it exactly other than that, but I remember 20 Christmases ago, or maybe even longer, maybe 25, I was sent to a situation where a lady was going to take her own life. And it was Christmas season, and Kim and I were, we were pretty, my wife's name is Kim, and we were pretty poor, and she just started out in social work. Just got out of the military and civilian police, and I think we were still in our little rent house there. And but I got there, and the reason this lady was going to do that was that her children's father had left her, and she had nothing for them for Christmas. They had nothing, literally nothing in the house. They had like a mattress, a couple of like a couch. And I remember standing there and talking to her and hooking her up with some services, but I left there, and I remember thinking, you know, what would Jesus do? What would a follower of Christ do? What should I do? And so I began to do the same thing these deputies did, and I gathered up some boys and girls that, you know, care about other people, and we got a bunch of toys and a tree, and it was interesting because she was an African-American lady, and back in those days, especially in the South, and this was 100 miles south of Little Rock, wasn't a lot of interaction between churches and things like it is now, and people. And we showed up at her house with all that stuff, and I never will forget just the joy. That was one of my favorite Christmases that I remember, was just giving, what it did for me. And I want my theme verse tonight to be the most, probably the first or second most used scripture in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave. And, you know, I've got four kids, and none of them are my clone. None of them, you know, I've got my second oldest, she's a girl, and she is a cop. And, you know, we spent some time together a couple of weeks ago, and stuff was coming out of her mouth. I thought, oh, my God, she didn't fall far from the tree. Anyway, so yeah, maybe not. It's funny. And my oldest boy, he's a social worker, and he's very compassionate. And as he, you know, begins to talk about things and caring about people, you know, I relate to that. He got that from me and his mother. But anyway, the point that I think that the church, if we are Christians, little Christs, sons of God, if that's what we are, if we're friends of God, if we're the bride of Christ, if we're all these things, we need to learn to, and I've got several scripture, some directives here, but we need to learn, number one, to be like our dad and give. And that does not just mean finances. That does not just, I'm not taking an offering. I'm not peddling anything. I'm telling you that it's a spiritual principle that when you give, there's something released in the spirit. There's something that happens that, number one, you receive spiritually, emotionally. You literally changes your countenance. I was able to facilitate giving away some things today for some people for Christmas. Just facilitate it. I mean, I'm the delivery boy, and we have a toy run every year at our church that an organization helps us put on. Interesting name of the organization. It's called the Moonshiners. Anyway, and they when the Moonshiners and the Christians get together, you know you got something. Anyway, so we have this little toy run. We raised like $1,100 and I think 150 toys or so. And I was able to start handing some of that stuff out today and getting that to some families. And it was just so, it just changed just being able to do that, you know, helping raise that money and then helping to get that stuff out for those people. But it just does something. Have you ever experienced that, Heath?
Yeah, absolutely, Bruce. It's interesting because in one of our men's groups last week, we were talking about, you know, the principle of giving and receiving. And one of the things we talked about was, homeless people or, you know, in Kansas City, there's a lot of, and I'm sure it's in Springfield too, but people on corners, you know, with signs, right? We'll work for food or, you know, help a brother out, whatever the case. And so one of the things that we had touched on was, you know, somebody asked the question, should you always give to somebody like that? And the answer is, in reality, yes, you should, because in the Bible it says, you know, give unto the least of these. You know, if you do it unto one of them, you're doing it unto Christ. And part of, I think, what happens is people think about, well, you know, and someone gave this example, well, I was taken advantage of, you know, I gave to somebody and then, you know, they didn't do what I thought they should have done with it. Well, that's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is just to give. You know what I'm saying? I mean, again,
man. That's not a gift. If you give it to somebody, you got to do this with it. That's not a gift, man. That's control.
Exactly, and that's exactly what I was going to say. That gets back into controlling people, right? I mean, again, this is a sin that the Pharisees struggled with, right? This is something that Jesus pointed the finger at the religious people because it wasn't in the right spirit. Giving is not giving if it's not out of love and out of meeting the need for somebody. You're already creating an expectation, a selfish expectation for yourself. It kind of reminds me of Jonah, right? Like, well, the people of Nineveh don't deserve to be saved because they've been evil. even though God called me to preach to these people, but you know, they got what's coming to them. You know, I mean, it's kind of that same mentality. And I've been guilty of that myself in the past. I mean, I've grown a lot in my faith, and you know, I've got a few years under my belt now, but I think your point is, Bruce, is that it's a selfless act in giving. And that is, I mean, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And that is, you know, when we exemplify that, when we do that in love and in compassion and meeting somebody's need, you know, we're doing it unto Jesus. And like you said, there's a countenance change. There is a, you know, like a release in the Spirit, and it's obedience. And it all ties together. You know, everything in the Bible, it ties together. You know, it's all connected.
Absolutely. And here's the deal, Heath. When you start talking about finances, and I just want to, and again, dude, I walk in this so imperfectly. And if I could only preach or teach on things that I did perfectly, I'd have to sit down and shut up. I mean, that's just the facts, okay?
Right.
But here's the deal. I have people in my life, friends that I know well, that I share with, I talk with, that have a lot of stuff. They are wealthy, okay? Right. I have friends that are not wealthy, okay? And here's the deal. We seek after all this stuff, and it does not satisfy.
Correct.
It does not satisfy. Now, let me tell you, I believe it's God's will. And, you know, here's the deal. This may be some really redneck theology for some people, but I believe it's God's will for me to be able to pay my light bill. I really do.
Yes.
So I'm not talking about, you know, having to buy secondhand clothing and but that's okay. Hey, I've got some good stuff off the thrift rack, by the way, through the years. But here's the deal. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about living a life of balance and of giving.
Yes.
And realizing that nobody takes anything with them when they leave, only what they've done for the Lord.
Wow.
You can have you can get buried. Dude, I'm telling you, you can get buried in a $100,000 casket and you are the same dead. I mean, you can. And I don't know what that casket would look like. I guess that'd be a hand carved some kind of Nordic ship or something that you float out,
right,
and they burn down when you're in the ocean or something. But anyway,
you're still going to be worm food when it disintegrates in 100 years.
Mm-hmm. So let me talk about something besides finances. But finances, I think, is what makes everybody nervous. But I want to tell you something. The most valuable thing that you have is not finances. It is not your money. The most valuable time you have, or thing that you have, is your time.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
I want to tell you that God has convicted me. The Holy Spirit has convicted me over me not giving people time.
Yeah.
Of me being selfish with my time. And we've all got X amount of years, which breaks down to X amount of hours, which breaks down to X amount of, you know, minutes, seconds. But literally, when someone's talking and you just write them off because they are not the right political persuasion, or they're not the right sexual orientation, or they're not the right something, they're not the right color, they're not the right something, it's something that doesn't agree with your white middle-class Protestant value system. Okay, when we don't do that, when we just write them off, I want to tell you, that's not what God did. He didn't write us off when we didn't have it together. And what he did is he died for us while we were yet sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And that took pain and time, and it does. And what I've learned, and it always makes me really soft, it makes me want to cry every time. But what I've learned is that these relationships that I've formed in all walks of life, and a lot of this, honest to be honest with you, it hasn't been of that much as a pastor. It's been more with my other job,
right,
that I have. I usually don't even tell people I'm a pastor. I don't. That's something they find out on their own. You know, I love people for being people. And then when it's time to pull the Jesus card, I use it. I pull it like a knife. You know, I mean, it's always there. But here's the deal. I give them my time.
Yeah.
And it's precious. And we want to hang around people like ourselves. We want to hang around people who make us comfortable. I want to tell you something. I don't imagine it was comfortable leaving heaven where you are being worshiped and being born as a human where it is cold, you are hungry, you are walking everywhere you go. I mean, I don't think that was, and don't get me wrong, I can't speak for Jesus, but I can tell you just looking on the practical side, he left heaven and came here for 33 and a half years or so.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't comfortable. It took his time. And I'll tell you another thing that God has, I believe, led us to say tonight is that God is love. He gives love. He loves because he is love. And that word love, you know, there's in the Strong's, it was like 26, 27. There was like five or six different definitions. You have to go and look at which, you know, it's affection, whether it's agape, you know, what is it? But I'll never forget when I studied that out, and when it says it was one where it says, love the Lord God with all thy heart. That love, that was not an affection. That was a choice. And love your brother as yourself. That's not this romantic, oh, I feel all warm when I do that, you know. No, that is a choice that God made for us, and he calls us to make that for other people. And for God so loved, he did what?
He gave his only begotten son.
That's right. So love equals giving. It equals being shared with our finances. This Christmas, just like every Christmas, I'm probably going to buy a goat for someone overseas. Food for the Hungry or one of those. We're signed up with both of them. And they always send me this picture of this kid with a goat. And I've always wanted a goat. So I always buy a goat.
Nice.
I never get to see my goats, but I...
You know, it'll either be on earth or in heaven. You're going to have a big goat farm or something.
Isn't that hilarious?
Yes.
You know, I don't know why that's so funny to me, but I always, when they see me that, I play, I always tell Kim, I said, baby, let's buy a goat. I want a goat. And my second, sometimes we buy a goat and a chicken because I like chickens too. Anyway. I like them best fried, but anyway, we'll keep going.
Right.
So, but to share that love and, you know, to put out there, put that effort out there because, you know, we can be, it's shocking to me what we can do when we put our mind to it.
Of course.
And you, especially when you put your mind to following the purposes that we've been called to, Heath, that we're called to. And
yes.
Because, you know, we're selected, preordained, predestined, chosen, redeemed. There's all these wonderful words that describes you. And then we take all of that, and we go, yeah, I'm pretty special. And then I'm going to do what I want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't give God any place to work, brother.
Yeah,
you know. So here's the deal. I believe, and here's some scripture. I like to talk a while, and then start hitting the word. But I'm proud of those deputies up there in Kansas. By the way, I am very proud of those boys. Conway, Arkansas, a kid, and I call them all kids because I've been doing this so long. But he ran into a building, saved two people, drug them out, and then went back and got their dog, you know. And that's giving. That's giving. That's giving of your safety. That's risking your life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very proud of that kid, too. And I don't usually tell their names. I just put that out there so that people know. So
That's
Matthew
awesome.
Matthew 7:2. And this is, some people don't like this scripture, but I love it. First it says, judge not that you be not judged. That word judge there means filing a verdict. That means guilty
right.
or not guilty. It doesn't mean you can't judge whether you should buy the Big Mac or the Big Mac with cheese. You can make that judgment call. It's the, it doesn't
right.
mean that you can't judge. You look at you, you meet somebody and they say, well, I want to babysit your kids. You get this weird feeling. No, you can say no. That's not judging.
Yeah.
That's
right.
You see what I'm saying? You can, you draw judgments
yeah.
every day. You be wise as
yeah.
a serpent and harmless as a dove.
Yeah. Discernment.
But it's talking about,
exactly.
You see what I'm saying? It's talking about
yep.
damning that person. That person's
right.
That person is in is guilty versus not guilty.
Right.
But listen
I've
to
also
this
heard
part.
Referred to. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, no. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
No, I was saying I've also heard it referred to as basically you are trying to call their motive into question, basically saying their you know their action is one thing, but when you start deciding what their motive is, what the motive of their heart is, then you're becoming their judge. Because anybody
exactly.
can say they did this sin or this is what happened, right? I mean, you can see it. If you can see it and you know what happened, you know what happened. But if you start trying to decide and call out their motive, then that's judging. Anyway.
That no, that's interesting because one of the guys that I read, Brennan Manning, he actually interviewed, and he's gone now. He passed away last year, I believe. But, I mean, he interviewed for his books. He's written, he wrote Ragamuffin Gospel. He wrote, and he was a great thinker, writer, struggled with alcoholism his whole life. But Brennan, he would talk about interviewing people who, and here was this sin. Here was this obvious sin. I'm not going to quote it. But here's this obvious sin that just about all of us would agree, say, yeah, that's pretty bad. But then he would tell the story behind that person's life. And I've said this many times, and I've thought it more times than I've said it. But, you know, the part of the reason that I am what I am is because of who my parents were.
Right.
I mean, they molded me and made me. And
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that God didn't have a part of it, but the influence, the pastors that I sat under before I was 12 years old, my uncle was a pastor, and I sat under him, and my dad was a pastor, and I sat under him, and my dad's mentor, I sat under him. You know, I mean, they affected me, you know, as a child, and I'm not complaining, by the way. I'm just telling you that you know, the difference between the things that I do and the things that other people do that were in different circumstances. You know,
right.
That's calling their motive into question. But anyway, I better get back to this, or we'll be out all night. So, judge not lest you be judged. But then verse 2 is what this dude, this one wears me out. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Now, don't you think about that, but this next part's worse. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you.
Wow.
Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye but not consider the plank in your own eye? So,
yeah.
And you know the story, but here's the deal. When I went in the Air Force in 1976, went in for a 4-year hitch. I do everything slow, so it took me 8 years to get out. But here's the deal. This is not a joke. One of the things that we did was we had this little box down on the ground, and we had to measure all of our underwear, all of our T-shirts. It had to be measured, and everything had to be folded 6 inches wide, 6 inches, 6 inches square. Everything was 6 inches. And we had no rulers. But that was when I found out that, and of course, the training instructor showed us, you take a dollar bill, and a dollar bill is exactly 6 inches long. And so that was the measure that we used for everything. So the 6 inches for your underwear was the same 6 inches for my underwear, was 6 inches for your T-shirts, with my T-shirts. If that measure was the same,
mm-hmm.
okay? So In other words, he didn't take one measure and use it on you. So here's the deal. When we shut people down because of a sin in their life, when we find ourselves better than them because of whatever, this obvious thing that we see that everybody ought to know, and everybody, when we do that, and I'm not talking about winking at sin, I'm not talking about going along with, I'm saying when we judge them, when we say we are better than them because of that, mm-hmm. what we do is we are going to be measured by the same thing. So when a person sees us in our sin, we're going to be measured the same way.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a scary thing. And what I need, Heath, is grace. Because, you know, I can fall off a platform and what I'm preaching say a cuss word right now. I mean, it happens. I'm just saying,
right.
I'm rough. I'm
yep.
rough. I'm out in the world every day. I'm fighting people, putting them in jail. I'm not genteel, okay? But I mean, I'm trying. I mean, Jake's taught me a lot.
Awesome.
Anyway, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
Well, I've never cussed, Bruce, so I don't know what to tell you about that.
I'm so proud of you, son. That's good.
Hey, I can relate to the 6 inches. I'm a Marine, so I'm totally familiar with
it. Oh, no, and I told you I was an Air Force. Dang it, I'll never live it down. Go ahead, sorry.
No, it's all good. I'm just letting you know so we can talk shop on some of that stuff, you know.
Oh, okay. So did you measure your underwear? Was it 6 inches?
Man, we measured everything. I mean, Irish pennants, pulling uniforms inside out, making sure there's no Irish pennants. I mean, some of the stuff that we did, the attention to detail stuff, was just off the wall, off the chain.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That is very interesting. I have some basic stories that, they sent me to resort areas all over the world, man. It was just like a vacation. I got to walk the flight line in Minot, North Dakota, you know, at negative, negative 35.
Oh, wow. When we would go to Air Force bases, I mean, I went to two different ones. Like when we were going on a pump to Okinawa, we went to, Kadena Air Force Base. Anyway, when we would go to those chow halls and everything, it was kind of like, what? Like, what in the world? They got a different budget than we do, you know. I mean, like, they're just like, leave your stuff on the table. Like, what? You know, we're in the Marines. We're putting our stuff in by the numbers, you know what I mean? Like, when you're done eating, you're putting the stuff in by the numbers. And there's no Coke machines, you know. I mean, you know, you might get some watered-down Kool-Aid as a beverage. Anyway, it's just funny. I was kind of like, I got what I signed up for. I got what I asked for, you know. Anyway.
Do you know how many times I have heard that either the Army or the Marines tell me that about the chow in the Air Force?
Oh, it's insane. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I would be 20 pounds heavier.
I got to tell you, though, the Air Force lent me to the Army twice for training. And sometime I have to tell you that story because it's, dude, I don't know why I think it's so funny. I laugh and laugh. But anyway, I was kind of like Gomer Pyle during all that. But so Luke 6:38, this is about giving. Give and it will be given to you. Not give and it might be given to you. Not give and if you hold your mouth right, it'll be given to you. Okay. It says give and it will be given to you. Now listen how it describes it. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom for the same measure that you use. Here we go again. Dead coming. Why can't I get away from that? That's so irritating. With the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I'm going to tell you.
I think it's phenomenal, man.
It's an absolute truth. It is listen, people come to me and they say, I'm so lonely. And you know what I tell them? Start investing yourself in someone else.
Yes.
And the and what happens is you go to the nurse. This is I've seen this happen. This is crazy. You go to the nursing home. Somebody who cannot pay you back. Somebody who cannot, you know, something. You invest yourself. You volunteer. You do that. You know what will happen? You will become more attractive to someone else.
Yes.
It's supernatural, man.
Right.
I mean, it's supernatural. I can't figure this stuff out. I just know it works. And there's the biblical reference to it right there. Give of your time. You say, I don't have enough time. Listen, I'm probably the most selfish person that you know, and you don't know me that well, but I'm a stinker. But when I give of my time, God multiplies the time I have left to complete the things I need to do. And the more selfish I am with my time, dude, that's what happens. I promise. It's on the authority of God's word. It's the absolute truth.
Yeah. One of the most encouraging things that I hear is that, you know, God redeems your time. You know, people that think, and maybe you've talked about this. I listen to so many different people, so I can't remember. But one of the things being, you know, somebody that's the example I've heard given is, let's say that you've lived 50 years and then you become a Christian and all of a sudden you have this overwhelming feeling like I've wasted 50 years of my life because now I know the truth, you know. But God redeems that time, you know. Your
exactly.
calling is still in effect. And because we, you know, here's the thing, and this, my son brings this up, right, because he's 7 and he starts bringing up these concepts, you know, about time and who made God, you know, how long has God existed. I'm like, God doesn't live in time. God actually created time. Now, you know, when we start thinking about that, I was a little bit older when I could actually grab onto that. At his age, that's kind of like, what? But, you know, he created time, and so we're sitting inside time. He lives outside of it, you know? And so so when we're talking about redeeming the time, again, you know, what's impossible with us is possible with God. You know, again, that's us trying to put God in the box. Well, he can't do that in a year. And he can snap his fingers and do whatever he wants to, you know?
I will restore the years the locust has eaten.
Yes.
That's what his promise is to us. I will restore. Restoration. And this is, I always think of this when I think of restoration. I've got some friends, then they buy these old cars. And I don't know if you ever rode them old cars with those old tires and no air conditioning and all that. They were hot. I mean, run like crazy, man. I mean, they had all the horsepower in the world. They didn't handle that well. They didn't stop that well. I ran into a dude the other night, and he had taken his Mustang, and he had taken from one end to the other. And, yeah, it restored, and it looked really beautiful on the outside. But do you know what it was on the inside? It was a 2020 car. It was, dude, it had air conditioning. It had automatic transmission. It ran like a spotted ape, dude.
Yeah.
And, of course, it probably cost as much as my house, but that's
right, yeah.
That's
exactly.
Another. But it's restored, man, and I believe with all my heart that God restores the years that have been taken, that you've wasted. Listen, the prodigal son, when he got home, he was completely restored, even down to the Signet credit card on his finger.
Yeah,
it was all given back. And if a lot of religious people don't like that, they say, "Well, yeah, but you know what? You did that. You did that." Well, you know what? I'm gonna tell you something. If God has the power to forgive and forget, then that means His children have the power to forgive and forget.
Yep.
In covenant with Him, we have the ability to believe that someone's sins has been removed as far from the east as from the west. I have a friend who I prayed with a week ago, Saturday and Sunday, and he was in maximum security prison for many years, and Fed Max, and I want to tell you something. God has put us, we see each other. He has some legal stuff going on right now. It has nothing to do with crime. He's trying to do a ministry. And I see him out in front of the prosecutor's office or the courthouse, and people see us walk up out there and embrace me in uniform, him, everybody knows who he is. And when they see that, they see the fact that God restores the years mm-hmm. the locust has eaten. He was in prison for, 20 years, 18
wow.
years?
Yeah.
And so you see what I'm saying? I mean, dude, it's not a theory. It's not a theory. He's called us to be givers. He's called, and he will restore. And so let's go. I always like to throw in a couple of proverbs, man, because if there's anything this world needs right now, it needs a little wisdom.
Just a little.
Just a taste. Ooh, I wish I could shoot it out of a water hose, son.
Right. I'll take two lumps. Thank you.
I'm telling you, man, we need some wisdom. So 19 and 17, see if I can find it here, my glasses. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. Now think about that. He who has pity on the poor, if you do it to the least of these, you've done it unto him. That's what the scripture that you used earlier. And then it says, and he will pay back what he has given. Now think about that. It's a win-win. If there's
yeah.
anything I like, it's
there's
a win-win.
There's no downside to giving. Yeah, exactly.
It's a win-win. And I'm so, dude, I am so self-centered and so greedy and so, maybe that's why I'm preaching this so hard around Christmas, because Christmas is always kind of hard for me in several ways. You know, a lot of my family has already gone before me and are no longer with me. And so I always miss them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm also a cheap sucker, you know. So that, you know, and, yeah, I always say, you could have got that $3 cheaper. But, all right, then the last scripture, Proverbs 11 and 25. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself.
Wow.
And, you know, God has worked in my finances in many different ways. He really has. He has. Mm-hmm. I have been blessed way beyond what I deserve, or way beyond what, you know. But I believe the bottom line of that is because my dad was a giver. My family, I came from a strong giving background, you know, giving of yourself, giving of your finances, mm-hmm. you know, being there for other people. And in the middle of being a massive cheapskate, you know, God sometimes hammers me to give, and sometimes I give. And sometimes, I mean, I don't mean, I'm talking about above and beyond, you know, my normal,
right.
you know, my normal disciplined, this is what this week is. I mean, I'm on that program. But sometimes God will say, hey, you know, look at that guy over there. And it's like, oh, no, not again. But anyway, so he blesses me every time, Heath. He has blessed me amazingly, and it's a great thing. There's one more scripture. I got to figure out which one it is. It's the one where it's shaken down and running over. I'm trying to think
oh, yeah.
which one.
Yeah, it is. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over.
Yeah, Luke 6. That's Luke 6. That's what it is. Luke 6. And how much? Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your bosom. For with the same measures that you use, it will be measured back to you. And, dude, mm-hmm. I want some of that shakedown blessing, man.
Exactly.
I want some of that blessing that just, you know, just keeps going. So,
listen, my company
is showing up, dude. So let's tie straight
oh.
this thing. They're starting to come in, so.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, Bruce, man, let's wrap it up. Really appreciate your time, man. I got some other topics I'd love to run past you and Jake, so we'll hit that up.
Well, don't run it past Jake. You just run this thing, man. He's your brother.
Yeah,
man.
I'll just run it, yeah. All right.
You're the Marine. You're the Marine. Tell him what to do.
I'll give orders. All right.
That's right.
Well, hey, let me pray real quick and wrap it up. Lord, thank you for this time with Bruce. Thank you for everybody that can hear the words of hear your word, God, hear what we talked about tonight. Thank you, Lord, for just moving on us during this Christmas season. Just bless Bruce, his family, everybody listening, and just give us, let us walk in a giving spirit always, Lord, and keep that in mind and what we learned tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And bless you, man, and have a Merry Christmas. And that's the first time my schnauzer has been on the podcast. That is my daughter's dog, and if anybody wants that dog, y'all can come get it. But no, I'm just kidding.
All right, the giving
anyway,
is
yeah,
started.
he's my watchdog. Right. I need to train him to be able to, if I could train him to shoot, he'd be the perfect bodyguard because he is loud and proud.
There we go.
All right, brother.
All right,
I love you.
Have
Take care
Christmas.
Of yourself.
Love you too, Bruce. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.